Okay. So as everybody can see that we're recording this and it'll be audio. I'm Wayne, I'm an addict.
Hey, Wayne.
Everybody must be able to hear me okay. All right, we must live and work together as a group to ensure that in a storm our ship does not sink and our members do not perish. With faith in the power greater than ourselves, hard work and unity will survive and continue to carry the message to the addict still suffers. That comes out of the basic text. So I'd like to welcome everybody. I'm glad everybody here. This is awesome. Welcome everybody to the first in a session of what we hope to be monthly workshops on the 12 traditions in response to the recent needs assessment we had at Region. We have organized this session and hope to continue to do this one per month all the way through the 12 traditions. That's probably going to be determined on the participation and how this is received. So if you have a friend, home group, your sponsor, your sponsees, ask them to join here each month. We plan to do this on the fourth Thursday of each month, so that ought to be pretty simple. Let's go ahead and open this meeting with a moment of silence for the still suffering addict, followed by a serenity prayer. If everybody'd like to unmute themselves, that'd be great. If not, it's fine also. Yeah. God,
Serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, wisdom to know the difference.
Right. If we could have Ben T read the 12 traditions, it'd be great.
I'm Ben T. I'm an addict. The 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous. We keep what we only have, what we have only with vigilance. Just as the freedom for the individuals comes from the 12 steps, so the freedom for the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on innate unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group's conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters of affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Six, an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. Ten, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relation policies is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the levels of press, radios, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Understanding these traditions comes slowly over a period of time. We pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups. It usually isn't until we get involved with service that someone points out that personal recovery depends on NA unity, and that unity depends on how well we follow our traditions. The 12 traditions of NA are not negotiable. They are the guidelines that keep our fellowship alive and free. By following these guidelines in all of our dealings with others and society at large, we avoid many problems. That is not to say that our tradition eliminates all problems. We still have to face difficulties as they arise: communication problems, differences of opinions, internal controversies, and troubles with individuals and groups outside of the fellowship. However, when we apply these principles, we avoid some of the pitfalls. Many of our problems are like those that our predecessors had faced. Their hard-won experience gave birth to these traditions, and our own experience has shown that these principles are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were formulated. Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together. It is only through understanding and application that they work.
Thank you. Thank you, Binti. Would Jan like to unmute yourself and read our reading out of Guiding Principles, Tradition One?
Sure. I'm Jan, I'm an addict.
Jan?
Our commitment to unity is essential in Narcotics Anonymous. Anonymity is our spiritual foundation. Unity is the practical framework that binds us together. Sorry, I do not have my glasses on. We need each other, every one of us. Unity is an active force and a principle we practice. In unity, we find a safe place to surrender and the ability to carry our higher power's will beyond our wildest dreams. Unity is the key to our survival and the beginning of our miracle. Practicing unity can be as simple as a smile, but it can also be one of the most difficult things we do. For the alienated, frightened, and resentful people many of us were when we got here, our common welfare can be hard to imagine. Our personal recovery depends on a principle we may never have experienced. Practicing unity is an act of faith. Putting our common welfare first gives us a way out of the self-obsession at the core of our disease. What we think of ourselves less and our fellows more, when we think of ourselves less than our fellows more, we contribute to NA unity. We set aside differences to help a newcomer. Friendships survive disagreements and grow stronger. We start to trust that NA is strong enough to hold us. We can be so afraid of getting it wrong that we hesitate to take any risks at all. That fear can undermine us in our lives, our groups, and our efforts to carry the message. Recovery sometimes means making new mistakes instead of repeating old ones. There's no way to avoid growing pains. While we always strive to do the right thing, our most powerful lessons can come through our mistakes if we are open to learning from them. The description of our symbol in the basic text explains that the outer circle represents a universal program that has room within it for all manifestations of the recovering person. Narcotics Anonymous offers hope to addicts around the world, regardless of any real or imagined differences that might separate us. It can be easier to feel unity with addicts in faraway places than with the people we know and serve with. Unity is not just a feeling, it's a decision that shapes our actions and our attitudes.
Thank you, Jan, for reading. All right. Awesome. Tradition one. So this is a 90-minute session. We will have a speaker, which I will introduce here in a minute, Kim C. from Goodland, share her experience, tricks, and hope on Tradition one. That'll be around 20 or 30 minutes. After she's done sharing, we will open the meeting for others to share. You can share your own experience, or if you have questions, you can pose them in the group, or you can also put them in the chat. Maybe somebody will share their experience, strength, and hope in response to that. Remember, part of sharing is sharing the time. Please be mindful and keep you sharing about 3 to 5 minutes so we can continue this thing flowing around. Okay. Again, welcome everybody. What an awesome crowd here. You know, our speaker, I'm pretty excited, and I know she probably put some serious work in on Tradition One, and I've always known her to follow traditions and to be aware of what's going on in the traditions. I think I've known Kimmy, around 20 or 25 years approximately. And she's always been one of service, always still does the basics, goes to meetings, sponsor, sponsee, reads literature and follows traditions, which is important, concepts, steps. So anyway, I'm excited to hear what Kimmy's got to share on tradition one. You got the floor, Kimmy. Unmute yourself. There you go.
That might help if I unmute myself, huh? I'm an Attican, Kim. Man, when I got to tell you, when Daniel asked me to do that, I'm like, why me? You know, and I don't think I was as educated about this tradition, or maybe I lived this tradition. But you know, really wasn't as educated. And I'm gonna be truthful with you that there were things that I most of my a lot of my reading was out of the Guiding Principles. Man, there's some beautiful stuff in there. But through that reading, you know, I found out that there's areas of my life and times in my life where I haven't been good at making the decision to be a part of the unity, you know. It's and that was one of the things that I learned that was, you know, maybe I already knew it, but it was written like unity is a decision. And I have to decide to do that. Now I probably do that, make that decision on a daily basis in the thing, some of the things that I do. But I did want to. There are a couple things that I'm going to read, and it may be brought up again. But I think some of this is really important. This comes from the Guiding Principles. It is on the very first page, and it says, NA unity is our bond with fellow addicts, those who come before us, those who are here today, and those ha who have yet to find us. Our practice of unity makes room for all addicts to recover in Narcotics Anonymous. And that really touched me. Because it's not for me, it's not about the people that are sitting in the meetings today or in and service tables today. It's also about the ones that kept the doors open for us to get here. And it's also about the ones who haven't found us yet. You know, if we're not practicing unity, the opposite of that for me is disunity, and that you know, when I think about that, I think about, you know, that's a falling apart. And so it's not always easy. I know that it's not always easy. We are a diverse fellowship, and we have lots of different kinds of people in this fellowship, you know. And you know, I just remember back to when first I'm just going to read the first tradition just because it'll keep me on track. The first tradition is our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. And when Daniel called me and talked to me about doing this, you know, I'm like, what does that mean to me? You know, how do I do that? How do I participate in that? And how do I not do it sometimes? And there was several things that I read in there, and I'm like, oh, Kim, oh man, you need to get better at this, you know. As I've studied through this and thought about this and prayed about this, I one of my grand sponsees even gave me an assignment and said, "How do you practice unity every day?" And let me tell you, I didn't do real good at the assignment, but it made me think about that. How do I do that? When I first came to Narcotics Anonymous, I believe that I was hungry for human connection, but I was afraid of y'all. I mean, I, you know, you. You got when I walked into the room and there was laughter and there were people that cared about each other, that was something that was totally foreign to me. And so, one of the ways that I learned about unity was how people treated me when I first came into the room. They welcomed me, they gave me hugs. They invited me to stuff, they listened to me, even though I had nothing to say. At that time, I had nothing to say. I didn't know nothing about nothing. I know a whole lot about using and not a thing about staying clean. But they didn't ever say, be quiet and tell you. No, nobody ever told me to put the take the cotton out of my ears and put it in my mouth. Nobody told me that, I learned that sometimes listening is one of the biggest things that I can do is listen, without judgment. And how can I judge? I've been there. I've done those things, having empathy for others that are walking in and don't know what they're walking into for sure, because I did not. I got invited to go places, events, and let me tell you, those I was it was really hard for me to do that because I'm pretty introverted, and I know some of you are going to say, "Oh, whatever." But I am pretty introverted, still am, and sometimes it's hard for me to join in conversations where I don't know people. I can't say that I'm real good at that yet, or still, but that was one of the things is somebody wanted me to go somewhere with them, and that's one of the things that once I got into a position where I could actually invite people, I did those things. People encouraged me. They said, "You can do this," and I try to do that with other people. As far as in service, they encouraged me to get into service, and I'm like, "What? I don't know nothing about this stuff." But those very same people encouraged me to read the literature, work some steps. If I wanted to get involved in service, get the guide to local service. I don't know how many people that I've met that are in service that have never read that book. And I'm like, get the book, read the book. You'll get a lot of answers out of that. Another way that that I learned from going to meetings is the identification with other people. I've had people go through some pretty horrific stuff. I can remember, getting a call from a sponsee, and this was one of the first times that I felt this beautiful unity at work, is when I got a call from a sponsee and she said that her house was on fire. And I'm like, I'll be there in 1 hour and 15 minutes. And I went and told my boss that I was leaving. And when I got there was a whole bunch of other people there. We went there to support her and her husband. And I don't know if they were husband yet, but we went there to do that. And that has happened repeatedly in my life, where things come up. I've had some friends lose their children. And you know how addicts do. It's a quick thing, telephone, telegraph, tell an addict, and we're off and rolling, and even from and I was able to be there to support those people. And in return, and it's not, I don't think it's because I did it, they did it, but because I knew what to do when I was diagnosed with cancer, I called, or I told my sponsor. Now, I will tell you that, I didn't post it on Facebook or put it out there to every single buddy, but I put it out there to the people that were close to me. And those people were there for me. And because of that, I have another friend who was diagnosed with cancer, and who does and then so she calls me. It's kind of like a continuation. It's a thing that happens when we can identify with each other, with the things that are going on in each other's lives. And it's really a cool thing to be able to be there for other people, because it's almost like, well, that taught me how to talk to, the feelings that I have, I can share them with other people, and that might help them to get through whatever it might be that they're going through. So in meetings, I was taught to give other people rides to meetings, or rides home from meetings. A lot of times I'd say, well, if you can get there, I can get you home. Or, be show care and concern with the things that they are going through in their lives. Hell, sometimes just the smile is a, I mean, I recognize, I see you is what I tell them when I look at them and I smile at them. If I notice that somebody's hurting, I'll go sit by them, and allow them to have their feelings and know that it's not wrong to feel the way they're feeling, whatever it is. Even if it wouldn't have been, maybe it wouldn't have affected me that way, but allowing people to be themselves. One of the things that I learned was to listen, to understand, and not to respond. Because if I'm sitting in my head, trying to formulate an answer, then I'm not actually listening. My best, probably my best showing that I care about you is a meaningful hug. And I like to do that. Sometimes I forget to ask permission because I figure everybody wants a hug. So, and to support people, you know, and I'll be truthful with you. Sometimes it's hard for me with people who are chronic relapsers because because when I get close to them and then they go back out, you know, I feel an emptiness. But I have gotten better at welcoming them back. You know, that's just I will not pretend to do these you know, to make this decision in all areas of my life. Probably the one of my most favorite parts of being a member of Narcotics Anonymous and being of service is sponsorship. You know, that has you know, I always talk about this because you know, 5 years ago I moved from where I lived and that had a lot of meetings to the remote Northwest Kansas, where we don't have a lot of meetings, we don't have a lot of people that are involved. And so it, you know, in order for me to build these relationships or continue to build the relationships with my sponsees that are still back in Hutchison, we had to work at it. It wasn't just automatic. And I love, love, love technology. I like Zoom. I love FaceTime because I can get on there and it's a way that we can connect face to face without having to travel. I work steps through technology. Not all the time, but a good share of the time. We work steps together on Zoom or Messenger or whatever it is, just so I can see their face. I probably talk on the phone an hour a day to somebody. You know, just checking in, or they're checking in, or, you know, I try to remember when people are going through things, even if I have to make a list. And sometimes I do, because my memory is not the greatest. So, and then the best thing that, you know, within sponsorship in particular is we make times to gather together. You know, we do, there's several of my sponsees that we, for the Webster campout, they've come out, I don't know, I think 1 year. I don't know if they've come out every year of the last five, but every year of the last four, somebody's been out here. And here's the thing, guys, is that when I do this with my sponsees and they do that with their sponsees and those sponsees do it with their sponsees, then it just makes this beautiful continuation of unity. You know, I have no idea, you know, how far this sponsorship thing reaches, but I know that it I know that it's my favorite service. The thing to be in service is doing is sponsorship. You know, and speaking of service, you know, I was really encouraged to get involved in service when I first started coming to Narcotics Anonymous. And it, you know, I didn't know nothing. I didn't know anything. But I try to encourage other people to get involved in service. I go to service meetings. I go to my group meetings. I go to area meetings. I even dipped into region here at the last region, which it had been a quite a long time since I'd been there. And there's some things that I want to tell you about a big mistake I made when there's a couple of them. When I first got involved in regional service, I had a whole lot of ego going on, and I'm like, oh, I'm the group PR chair. I'm the area, I think it was PI at that time, area PI, and I'm the regional PI. And I'm like, wow, I'm something else. And a friend of mine said, well, you just cut your resources down to one. And I'm like, what the hell? Because if I, as a PI person at the group level or the area level, needed help with something, who was I going to go to? Me? So that was one of a big lesson that I learned. Another one was, which does not promote unity. When people like take a hold of those positions and forget that we need resources also. But I was the PI chair at Region, and somebody asked me, they said, are there any positions open on the PI committee? And I said no. And I said no because there was PI chair, PI co-chair, whatever. A man named John that is no longer with us, he said, look at all those chairs around the table. There's lots of positions open. And that was kind of like, at the time, it was like, oh, I'm so dumb because I hated making mistakes in front of people. But it was also a very big learning thing for me to know that to realize that it wasn't all about me. And that's that so in the guiding principles it says to keep our common welfare first, we let go of the desire to own a service position or a particular task, and we look to the good of the whole. And I wasn't looking at that. I was looking at owning that shit, It was a big lesson, and I'm so grateful to those old timers that are willing to say those things that they know might possibly hurt your feelings, because I think my feelings were probably hurt. That's just because I was embarrassed, if nothing else. But it also says in here, consistency and continuity are vital to our survival, but without rotation, we can risk being frozen in time. And that's one of the things that I've had to learn about when we do a rotation here called okay, I've done it for a year. Now it's your turn to do it for a year. We're very small. Primarily we've got maybe I would say three actual people that are home group members. Things have gotten better. And I've realized through this study about this first tradition is that I need to get better too at making sure that, I was talking to somebody about it the other day, making sure I'm talking about the steps, I'm talking about sponsorship, I'm talking about the thing, the literature, the things that work. Sometimes when there's so few people there, and we all know about those things, we forget to talk about it. And it's really important to talk about those things in every aspect of recovery for me, when we were doing some things in our area, we talking to people about doing meetings in the jail and things like that, and that is part of this for me, is letting everybody know that there's a way out, and that feels really good to do those things. When we talk about our common welfare in the guiding principles, it says our common welfare means that every one of us needs every one of us. Every addict deserves an opportunity to recover. Our practice of unity helps ensure that recovery is available to us all. And that what that means to me is, don't be judgy, Kim. Don't leave all the ego out of it, and remember who you were when you first walked in the room. It's very, very important for me to do that, to remember how I felt, and help others to feel like they belong. And belonging is a part of unity for me. I know that there's probably a lot more that I could say about it. I want to be involved in the rest of this. So that's really all I have, guys. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Kim. Love you.
Thanks, Kimmy.
That was awesome, Kimmy. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks, Kimmy.
Kimmy.
All
Great
right.
job, Kim. Good job, Kimmy.
All right. Again, thank you, Kimmy, for sharing.
Thanks for asking.
Kimmy.
Yeah. So now we're going to open the meeting to hear from others. If you would like to share, please use the raise your hand button on the toolbar to be recognized to speak. I want to remind everybody again, be mindful of the time that you spend. Remember, the topic is the first tradition. I'll call on people as we go. As somebody's talking about something and somebody wants to share their experience, strength, and hope towards that, we'll go with that. And we'll just flow around and hear some people share their experience, strength, and hope on tradition one. So I don't see no hands raised yet. So who'd like to go first?
Tell me where the hand raise is.
Yeah, where is that?
It's on the bottom of the screen. Let's see, where is it? What's it on?
React.
Huh?
It might be in your react.
React. It's the
Oh,
heart
okay, I see
react
it.
button and it'll raise.
Did you
Okay.
push it?
Yeah, push it and then hit your button. You'll see it.
There you go.
See the raise hand? All right. Gary, you want to go first? Gary, unmute yourself.
Go ahead.
All right, my name's Danielle. I just want to say, I've been through a lot with addiction and stuff like that, but one of the main things was suicide seems to be a big thing of it, and everybody wants to talk about it or something. everybody's always saying that, you know, they won't really do it or whatever. They're just wanting attention. In a way, that's true too. But I was left alone, and that ended up saving me somehow. It sounds kind of crazy, but I want somehow to make a change with everything and make it bigger than me for sure. And everything I went through, and I just it begins with. I guess just sticking with family and always having them around, you know, like our little ones, and making sure that they don't get removed from our homes too young, or, you know, and I think that we need to make sure that the little ones tell us what to do more than the older ones do. Yeah, my thing, and I'm going to work real hard at it, and I hope to see some of you guys follow behind me, because I'm going to make some pretty ballsy moves and show people what I came about. We need to keep our kids at home to make sure we stay off drugs. That's all I got.
Thank you for sharing. John?
All right, everybody, I'm an addict. My name's John. You know, listening to Kimmy share everything she shared, how true that is. You know, I can remember when I didn't feel like I was good enough to be of service. And Kimmy and I shared a position on the region as coordinators for the activities for the what is it I'm wanting program. To say, Kim? Programming chair. And she taught me that I was worthy of that, you know. And by doing that, you know, I get a chance to share with people every day about unity. I drive a local bus here in Salina. It's a city bus. And we've got a lot of new recovering people that have got 2, 3 days, 30 days. And they're excited about being in a structured living environment. And that's so important to feel like you belong. You know, I'm like Kimmy. When I first walked into meetings, people were laughing, and that was foreign to me. I didn't laugh, you know. And since then, I've learned how to laugh, you know. That's about all I got to share. But, Kimmy, you did a great job, girl.
Thanks, friend.
Thank you, John. I'm Wayne. I'm an addict.
Hey, Wayne.
So while I'm waiting on a hand to raise up, you know, and I read tradition one out of the basic text, and when it talks about it wasn't until I came to Narcotics Anonymous that recovery began. You know, I came to Narcotics Anonymous many years ago, and I truly believe that my recovery started at that time. Until I started building some unity, and then that's that base of the program that I feel when I have that unity going on wherever I walk into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, even on Zoom. You know, when I first came around here, you know, I can relate with Kimmy a little bit. You know, I was a little shut out and a little shot out too, and that unity that brought that around. Showed me that I wasn't such of a unique type of person, and I fit in with a lot of people, you know, from all walks. I mean, everybody on here, you know, and in turn, I started looking at these people that's been around here, and I tried my best to follow some coattails and hold on tight and become a part of their life. And a lot of times, I think I felt somewhat fearful of letting people know who I truly was. And that's part of tradition one, is letting people know who I truly am and not being worried about being judged and being a part of solution in a group or in a setting of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, without that, I don't think I would have continued to do this thing, working the steps like every, I'm just going to say it like my predecessors showed me. They was working the steps. They was reading the literature, going to meetings. So I did that, whether I liked it or not. And in turn, I started feeling the effects of it, even though I was just acting as if maybe at first, I was just following coattails and doing what the winners were doing and being a part of their lives. And in turn, man, things started turning around, and the, you know, the base started growing, and the Point of Freedom started getting it, and it became real. And when it became real, that's when my recovery. So I had to stay clean long enough, sometimes on somewhat of a fake program, if you want to say that, to the best of my ability at that time. But I'll tell you, once it started grabbing and it became real and my heart got involved, man, the unity really started forming. And the more service that I did and the more people that I met, it was like, gee, many Christmas, this thing's huge and awesome. So anyway, what a thing to be a part of. So next we'll go with West Side NA over there, and then Joe, you're on deck. Step up to the mic if you could over there.
Here comes Tanya.
Okay.
That close.
Oh, you need to be that close.
I'm an addict. My name is Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
And I think, you know, when I got out of prison and came to NA, all my life I had been seeking family. I've been seeking unity. I've been seeking that connection. And connection is the opposite of addiction. So, and when I first got into recovery, everybody in my family was still using, but I came to Hutchinson after 4 years in prison, and I had to find new family, you know, and really I wasn't very good at connecting anyway. So, but I came to Gift Alive here in Hutchinson, and I built this whole family, like they weren't blood family, but they were family, and it was so awesome. And when I think about the word unity, I think about unified, which means standing together. And I've seen so many examples of standing together. Like if you've never been to a world convention and stood in that great big huge circle and had everybody say, you know, the serenity prayer and the third step prayer. I mean, this thing is way bigger, and the unity, it doesn't matter if I know somebody or not, we're all connected. You know, the similarities instead of the differences is what creates that unity for me. And when Kimmy was talking about, you know, horrific things that happen in people's lives, and, you know, that's where I've seen people really stand together, you know, because sometimes when those things happen, we can't hold ourselves up, but our fellows come together, unified, and hold us up when we can't hold ourselves up. So, you know, my family did eventually come into recovery. You know, that the unity is what was attractive to me, the unity and the connection. And so I couldn't do it without all of that. Like I probably wouldn't have stayed if it took me a while to connect with people, but I probably wouldn't have stayed if there wasn't unity and if the traditions didn't teach me how to apply that unity into my everyday life. Over now.
Awesome share, Tanya. Thank you for sharing. Joe?
I'm an addict named Joe. And I like the way the tradition starts off. It just gives a declarative statement. Our common welfare should come first. Well, what's that tell me? It tells me that I need to get out of the way because the core of my disease is self-centeredness. And if I have our common welfare is a we, if I have that in mind first, it kind of pushes that self-centeredness to the side. You know, and it ties in with the 12th step there, you know, with, you know, love and charity and kindness. And then the second half of that is explains why, you know, because my personal recovery depends on NA unity. So in other words, I can't recover if there's no other members here. You know, and if we're not working together to help me learn how to live without using, I'm screwed. I am totally gone. There's no help. And I experienced unity from the very first meeting, NA meeting that I went to. As I was walking through the doorway, I didn't get completely through, and this great big gorilla of a guy got up out of his chair, and he got right in my face, and he looked me right square in the eyes, and he said, "We're glad you're here." You know, and after so many times of being told, "Don't ever come back," or, you know, "We don't want to see your face around here anymore," that was really nice, you know. And then he threw his arms around me, which freaked me out. And the next thing he told me was, "You never have to use again." You know, and nobody had ever told me that I didn't have to use. And then he said, you know, showed me that, "Hey, there's a coffee pot over there. Help yourself. Find you an empty seat. We're going to start the meeting in a little bit." You know, and it's in that Guiding Principles book, unity and anonymity are highlighted in almost every one of those traditions. When it goes and lists the spiritual principles that are embodied in each one of in those traditions, unity is a major one that's in there on almost every single one. You know, and I look up a definition of words. You know, unity, the definition I like is a condition of harmony. You know, when I'm listening to music that is discordant, that's, you know, all jumbled up, man, it's hard on my ears, and I just feel uneasy and don't feel comfortable at all. But when things are in accord, when it's all blends together and they complement each other, the notes complement each other, it's easy on the ears and I can get into it. So I need that same sort of principle here for me to get out of the me and into the we. And when I do that, my life, it seems to go more in harmony with the world around me. So when I practice unity, I am practicing, you know, it's like making music, you know, it just sounds good to me and it feels right. And, you know, if I'm acting in disunity, then everybody around me's nerves are on edge, you know, and you know, it's one of the old self-defense mechanisms. If you can't get close to me, then I can't get hurt. Well, I also can't get loved either. And I need that in order to be able to recover. So I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much, Kim, for sharing. It was great. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Appreciate you sharing also. All right. Anybody else? Kimmy? Unmute.
Stuff. So one of the things that when I first started going to some service meetings, and I'm telling you, sometimes things got really heated, and you know, I saw people like arguing with each other, and I mean, toe to toe, nose to nose, arguing with each other. I think I was a little confused at that. But what I saw after that was them hugging each other. You know, we can have differences of opinion without alienating other people. And that was kind of foreign to me because I remember, you know, learning, and I've had to learn how to be. Disagree without being disagreeable, like our basic text talks about, and allow others to be wrong. Man, I remember reading those things and remembering that it wasn't about me being right. It was about being able to communicate. And the friendship didn't have to be over just because we did not agree on things, and it was okay to tell people how you feel, how I like what if my feelings got hurt, it was okay to say, "Hey, that hurt my feelings," you know. And I think that's a part of the unity of this is that where else can you go and learn all those kind of things from people that care about you, you know? So that's been a really cool thing. There was one other thing that I wanted to say out of the guiding principles. It says one of the purest expressions of goodwill in NA is our heartfelt desire for the newcomer to have freedom. Sometimes it's more genuine than our hope for ourselves. And that's, you know, that's the basis for me of the Narcotics Anonymous program and of unity, of being able to recognize that people need this as much as I did, you know. So that's all I have. Thanks.
Awesome, Kimmy. Thank you.
Thanks.
Tonya? I sent you an unmute.
Thank you. I was struggling with that. My name's Tonya. I'm an addict.
Tonya?
Yeah, and I have heard so many good things, and I don't know that I really have anything to add, but what, you know, other than just my words, you know, my perspective, that when I got here, I mean, that whole concept of common welfare, you know, it was just like a foreign concept. I got here with my own welfare, you know, was my concern. And I really, because of the so many ways I was overwhelmed by addiction, overwhelmed by my self-centeredness, and overwhelmed by, you know, just what was happening in the room. Like my inclination was isolation. And so how did I know what common welfare was? I mean, I didn't learn that in kindergarten. I didn't learn it, you know, on the playground. I didn't learn it. And I didn't learn it until I got here. You know, the 12 steps slowly, over time, you know, changed that. My perspective changed. I became capable of empathy in a way that I hadn't been capable of it before. I became capable of seeing that I was a part of something, that I was not apart from it, you know, from everything, that I was a part of something, and that my contribution to that part, you know, my part in that was valuable because my predecessors modeled that for me and taught me that and showed me in a way that I had never been able to learn it anywhere else in my life before. So I, you know, I learned how to and I am still learning how to, you know, make sacrifices, you know, for the common welfare. To, you know, like someone said, you know, not be attached to being right, to being curious. You know, I didn't even have any curiosity about what anybody else thought. I knew what I thought and I knew I was right. And, you know, I wasn't interested in how anybody else saw it. So today I have a curiosity that allows me to, you know, entertain the thought that I might not be right, you know, that somebody else might have something that I can learn from. And I have seen this tradition work in my own home group, like in just amazing ways. When, you know, issues come up, and it's like, I'm sure that it's going to fold, right? It's going to die. You know, there's no way we're going to survive this conflict, right? It's not possible. And in that spirit of unity, And in that spirit of, we all have, our primary purpose, holds us together. It really does. I mean, no matter how addicted we all are to being right, we know that our primary purpose is the reason why we're here. And keeping the door open for the still suffering addict is an obligation that will require that sacrifice of us, and that today we're capable of surrendering, to something higher than our own agenda. And I am so grateful for that. When I came into this program, I learned how to like truly love, I mean, and enjoy and care about and be cared about by people that I would never have had anything in common with in my, other than drugs, right? Other than addiction. But I mean, there's so many ways that I have learned to accept things that I just was not, that it's new to me. It was like new to me when I got here. And
Uh-oh, we lost you.
service work and in the
There you
group,
go.
in my personal life as well, in my family, in my home, in my, work relationships and other relationships. So anyway, that's what I got. And I'm really grateful this is happening and glad to be here. Thanks.
Glad you're here. Great share. Appreciate it. Daniel?
I'm Daniel, I'm an addict. Works? Can you hear me?
Yep.
I know you can.
Oh,
I was sitting here thinking, I was like, what do I offer here that can be helpful? And, because that's really why we're doing this, is to see, give some of the people that are wanting the idea of understanding the traditions something to grasp onto. And like tradition one kind of serves almost as a focal point of how the rest of the traditions operate. And I know it doesn't say that, it says anonymity is our spiritual foundation. And I think somewhere in Guiding Principles, or maybe it works on why, it talks about unity being the practical foundation. That we have to practice on a basis of unity in the things that we do to make sure that our fellowship continues. And I was thinking in terms of, I really always have enjoyed the way the Step Working Guide talks about God's will, and how it's easier to understand what God's will is not. And for me, it's easy to understand that unity is not obviously disunity, but it's also those things like gossip and bickering with each other and doing those things that we were so used to doing in our active addiction to isolate each other or alienate each other from whatever was going on, so when I try to practice not those things, but I practice, trying to be more aware of the idea that, I don't need to engage in those types of behaviors that would lead to disunity. And in that, then I can be a part of the solution, in a practical way. And I think the other thing that I understood more than I believe I understand more today than I did when I got here was that this tradition really helps me get out of my own way. It really helps me to be less self-centered. I know Guiding Principles talks about it's our first glimpse out of self-obsession, and understanding that I am not as important to the group as the group is important to me, and not everything, man, I don't have to like every decision my home group makes. I don't have to, it doesn't have to be my way. It doesn't, as long as we're within the guiding principles of our fellowship and we stay within the traditions, or the concepts or whatever, and it's not ethically or immoral, We can do stuff together and try and do whatever it takes to reach another addict, you know. And that's, I mean, like, that's the biggest thing that I can do today is just show up and participate, you know, and be a part of this deal in any area that I can be, you know. I think the other thing that I wanted to talk about was how the questions in Guiding Principles, you know, there's some good stuff in there, not only for self-reflection, but there's stuff in there for the group to reflect upon. There's stuff in there for service bodies to look at, you know, and if your home group or even your area service committee wants to take a look and dive deeper into understanding these traditions as a whole, it's a good place to start. Get a couple people together, find a couple questions and have a part of it in your group conscience, or have it a part of your recovery meeting or you know, your area service committee meeting, and just have those discussions together. You know, I know a Central Kansas area where my home group is a member of, you know, they read a concept every month, you know, and you know, part of that is about the education. It takes 15 minutes out of your service meeting to do that little bit of education to kind of get everybody else learning something new, or learning from each other. And that's, man, that's the only way I learned any of this stuff is from each other. I know if I would have just sat at home and studied the literature and not saw it work in action, you know, when two addicts can disagree and then hug after at the ASC or at the home group, you know, it's so important to see that in action. You know, and sometimes, you know, in our small little groups, it's real easy to like just disagree and walk away and don't want to, you know, talk to anybody. And we look to each other to kind of see that guiding light to say, that's not necessary. You know, we're all passionate here. We're all on the same boat. We're all trying to go the same direction. Just maybe some of us want to go left and others want to go right every once in a while. So yeah, I'm grateful for we're doing this. I hope we can continue to do this. I hope it's well received. I hope people want to participate. Kim, thank you so much for sharing. You know, I know she started sharing about the house fire, and like that's like unity in action in my life has been depicted to me in so many ways beyond, you know, this fellowship shows up when they need to. Or when I need them to. You know, every time my ass has fallen off, there's addicts around to pick it up and help me carry it along the way. I also want to say welcome to Jim, and welcome to Sarah. They're not from our region, so let's make sure we're welcoming to everybody that's in the room, because it's really cool when we get to see other people show up and participate in our region stuff. And maybe, you know, maybe one of them will share with us. Maybe Jim will have some good shit to share. So thank you all.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate you sharing. Right. I'm not seeing any hands, so I'm going to do something, and if you're not comfortable, just say so. But Jan, would you like to share? That a no?
Did you say me or were you saying Jan?
Hey.
Jan.
Oh, yeah, I was sorry. I had to get unmuted. I'm Jan. I'm an addict.
Jan?
So I guess this is the tradition that maybe I'm realizing the importance of even more than ever currently. So a lot of you guys know that I just moved to Texas in January from Kansas. And so one thing that is really wonderful down here is that everybody seems to be really good about working the steps. Like they work the steps, they talk about the steps constantly. But it seems to be some people maybe have a hard time applying the principles during service meetings more than I've seen in a long time. Like I remember the days in the Mid-America region when the service meetings would get pretty heated at region. And it's kind of like being thrown backwards 20 years to that all over again here. At some of the business meetings that I go to, and to feel like I wish that people here could jump forward 20 years to where I've seen, the Mid-America region and Central Kansas area where I'm from, where they've gotten to over the years, the progress that's been made with that. So, like I said, I think this is just a really good tradition for things that I'm experiencing right now, where I'm at. And so I think that this workshop's going to be really useful for me to be able to go and, kind of talk about unity and kind of put an emphasis on the importance of unity, because I know, people here like quitting their service positions because of it, people walking out in the middle of business meetings because of it. And I know people talk about getting to see people come together afterwards and hug. And that's wonderful if people don't walk out, either the people that get upset or the people who are witnessing this and don't want to be a part of it. So sometimes I think we forget about that. We think that it's okay because, we kiss and make up afterwards, but not everybody sees that. Not everybody kisses and makes up. And so the thing that I was thinking about related to this is just that self will run riot. Cause I'm incredibly selfish. I admit that, incredibly self-centered, but I try to, in service meetings, do what I think is best for the group. And I think that's probably what everybody thinks that they're doing, but that, true spiritual principles are not in conflict. And so, there's a lot of conflict and a lot of really ugly conflict, unfortunately. So, it's definitely one thing that I miss about, being in Central Kansas area in the Mid-America region is that level of conflict I feel like went down significantly over the last 20 years. So it's something that I miss from back home. But it's good to see everybody. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jan.
Thanks, Jan.
Sure, I appreciate that. Jim, would you like to go next?
Sure, I guess so. I just happened to come in and see the announcement for this and on social media. I said, you know what? I was doing some yard work and I'm going to join this group and see what it's about here. I'm Jimbo. I'm from Greater Philadelphia region. I know Daniel from service and I'm glad to be here. It's something that, I'm always still fascinated with new things and listen to new people and new ideas. And that wasn't always the truth. But basically, from when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, a little bit of a question bulb did come on, I got to go to my first outside meeting when I was in treatment, and it was a Friday night, and it was at a hospital, that the facility takes you out, as you're getting close to your discharge date. And there was about 50 people on a Friday night in the meeting. And, my curiosity was piqued at that time because, in treatment, of course, it's mandatory, you got to show up, you got to go to the thing, you got to, do what you got to do to stay in treatment. But Friday night, these people, they could be anywhere they wanted, and they came to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And like I said, there was about 50 people there. And you know what? It just said, there must be something here, there must be something. And, in treatment, of course, just hearing people, they did the same things I did, but they look different now, when they came in. The treatment facility we that I went to, we had our in-house meetings, just clients, and then they also had two open meetings where people could come in and mix with the clients. And like I said, those things, that piqued my interest about how does this work and what makes this happen, knowing who I am and knowing that they're just the same as me, that there must be something really special here. And I'm going to, and each day I'm going to just stay here and find out what it is. And don't get me wrong. I had different plans, so to speak, in the back of my head. You know, I thought like, I'm just going to come here. And once I learn how to stay clean, I'm out of here, you know? But every day when I just put all that stuff aside and just said, you know what, Narcotics Anonymous gave me a day clean, I think I'm going to come again. I think I'm going to come again. And now that's like, you know, that's like 3.5 decades ago, you know? And, you know, I can't even believe that I'm still, you know, here and coming, you know, like, that was not my plan, so to speak. And it's amazing when you just put all those things aside and let all those reservations fall away. And I don't got to worry about next week. I don't got to worry about next year. All I got to do is worry about today. You know, there's a greater consciousness that happens here that we all have to sort of contribute to in our way of whether that be surrender, whether that be speak up for something that we believe in, whether, like I said, whether, and one of the things, you know, like I said, we all have this ability to have this self-righteousness. And what we also need to understand is that we also have to develop the ability to let others be wrong. And that is a difficult thing because, you know, it's a double-edged sword. When you get some time and you get some experience, you also gain some knowledge about a sort of a broader perspective and trying to convey that to others and they're fighting back with it. Sometimes you just, the surrender doesn't mean you're giving in to them. It just means you're letting others be wrong because I've been wrong. You know, I've been wrong in thinking that a certain, you know, we think that we, and the other thing that I've learned over the years is not to, that the traditions aren't a set of rules, so to speak. They're just principles that raise our consciousness to a higher level that allows us all to sort of get along and work together. And like I said, look for the common good, you know, in the first tradition, you know, it talked about personal recovery depends on NA unity. The reverse is also true. NA unity depends on personal recovery. So what's the best thing I can do for Narcotics Anonymous? It is to recover. So that's where the steps come in. The steps help me recover. And that allows me to be a part of the greater NA as a whole, you know? And like I said, whether that be speaking up for something I really believe or stepping back and surrendering to others who might be right, or the others surrendering so that we're not bickering and raising the feud to a higher level, stepping away and just let others be wrong, that one day they're going to understand, you know, what we're talking about here. So, you know, my predecessors were the teachers. You know, I got clean at a time that, you know, some people look at it and it was what they call the purest movement. And I don't strictly adhere to any of that. I just happened to fall into a place that members were committed to NA, and that's all it was. Like, I don't tell anybody, you know, what to do or where to go or whatever. Basically, my job is to just show them love and welcome them here, and they'll figure out the rest, just like I did. You know what I mean? They'll figure out where they need to be. You know, my path their path may not be the same as my path was, you know. But Narcotics Anonymous is really, you know, the only place I've gone. I'm grateful for the people that came before me that showed me the way, you know. So I'm grateful to be here to join you guys and hear some new things. And, you know, just like each group has its own vibe, each area has its own vibe, each region has its own vibe. And we got to get adjusted to that so that we can sort of find our place, you know. So, and one of the things is the woman that spoke before me, that's the most difficult time is when we move somewhere different, you know. But thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, sir. Good share. We got two more hands. You're going to have to make them short. We are out of time.
Hey, I'm an addict. My name's Danny. I just had a question that I was going to pose to the group, but as Jimbo over here was sharing, it got me thinking and reflecting back on everything everyone else shared. I think I got my answers. So thank you guys for putting this on. Thanks, Kimmy, for sharing. And I'm really grateful to be here.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, everybody, for sharing. So we are out of time. Let's see what it says.
There's a couple minutes. If Jasmine still wants to talk.
Oh, are your hands still up, Jasmine?
She took it down, but.
Jasmine, go ahead. Where are you at? There you are.
So I'm here with my home group, and it was somebody else, and she's good.
You good?
Just share with us.
Oh, hold on. Here. Hello, hello. My name is Danielle, grateful recovering addict, clean and sober. Thank you guys for having your meeting. Listening to everyone, it reminds me that most importantly, my relationship with my higher power comes first, right? And then secondly, it's the common welfare of the group. We're here so that other people don't have to suffer out there, right? We meet regularly so that newcomers can find us and they're not trapped in their cycle of addiction, right? But after the common welfare of the group, then my personal recovery takes place. I can't do this without a group. I know definitely in the beginning, if it wasn't for the group, I probably wouldn't be here. So I just have to remember everyone here is just seeking recovery. And it doesn't mean that we have to be uniform in nature. That means we can have different experiences, different perspectives, and have differing personal opinions, because that's what makes it great is we can all come from, we're not people that would normally mingle outside of these rooms, right? But we have one thing in common, and that's we've been through hell and now we're in heaven. This is heaven to me, right? So no matter what happens, so long as I stay sober and clean, it's a good day, regardless of what happens. Thanks, Wayne.
Thank you for sharing. All right. We do have a couple announcements we want to share. There it is. The deadline to submit our responses to the needs assessment is tomorrow. The responses to this questionnaire will help guide us in our efforts, like this meeting across the Mid-America region. We need to know what you guys think, groups, areas need. And then a membership survey. Also, the membership survey will likely close in the next week or two. If you have not filled out your important survey, please do so. The information collected here is vital for the communication of professionals around the region. So there's a QR code. You can always get one from the Mid-America is on there also. All right. And then our RS regional meeting is August 16th and 17th, with subcommittees meeting Saturday and business meeting Sunday. As you can see on the screen, there are many opportunities to get involved in service at our region. We could use your help to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous throughout the region. So you see all that. We need help at the region. And then, so it's coming up next month. Hey, I'll tell you what, this has been a stressful deal right here. The camp out is on. It says, yes, the camp out's happening. 4th of July camp out. What is it? 46th, longest running freestanding camp out. It's at Council Grove Lake. So, take a screenshot of that or something with your phone, and it's coming up next weekend. I hope to see everybody there. We're going to have a good time. And then, let's see, join us together next month for Tradition 2. This will be on July the 24th at 7 o'clock. That's the fourth Thursday of next month, 7 o'clock, Central Kansas. If you have feedback for the format of the meeting or would like to suggest possible speakers, please reach out to Daniel and let him know. And we will discuss that at our subcommittee meeting. And final, thanks all again for attending. We hope to see y'all back next month for sure. And we can ramp this up, get some more people to sign in. It's been awesome. Let's close this with another moment of silence, followed by a third step prayer. If everybody would like to unmute yourself, go right ahead. Whose gratitude?
My gratitude speaks when I care,
and when I share with others
in any way.
Take my will and will in my life.
Guide me, my recovery,
and show me how to
live. Awesome. Awesome over there at West Side, too.
Hey, Wayne, can you share those flyers in the chat?
Or post them on the regional website.
They should be on the regional website. Are they on there, Daniel?
The needs assessment should be on the front page of the regional website. The survey, I don't know if it ever got posted.
Wayne, are you going to pick your stuff up here tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll just pick it up tomorrow.
I'm dropping both of those in the chat for you guys, so don't run away.
Thanks to everybody who came. That it was really cool. I really enjoyed the discussion.
Thank you, Kim, for sharing.
Thank you, Kim.
Love you all. I'll see you later.
All right. I'm out.
See you, Ben. Thank you, Kim.
Thanks for the meeting, everybody.
Thank you, Jimbo.
Hey, make sure. Oops, make sure you.
Thanks, Jimbo. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me. I like a spur of the moment decision right on time. Something different, you know, get the feel for, you know, the Mid-America region and see what's going on there, you know.
Yeah.
Awesome. Glad you showed up.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to make it next month too, you know.
Yeah,
my friend always used to say, he said, you know, nobody likes tradition meetings, he says, because traditions is when we have to think about other people. We just like to talk about ourselves.
Oh my.
All right, let me go. Thanks for having me, fellas.
See you later. Right,
thanks, Jimbo.
Take care.
All right, now.
See you, John.
See you later, Wayne. It's good seeing you, man.
You too.
Y'all have a good night.
See you, Brad.
See you, Brad.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll start getting more attendance here as this goes on.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't bad for the first one.
No. I'd also like to see after that, maybe go through and do traditions, or not traditions, but the concepts.
Could be right on time.
Now, we had a little group here that was studying the concepts for a while until life.